Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. We're up to book 15, chapter 15, and it goes like this. At the end of January, Pierre went to Moscow and stayed in an annex of his house, which had not been burnt. He called on Count Rostopchin and on some acquaintances who were back in Moscow, and he intended to leave for Petersburg 2 days later. Everybody was celebrating the victory. Everything was bubbling with life in the ruined but reviving city. Everyone was pleased to see Pierre, everyone wished to meet him, and everyone questioned him about what he had seen. Pierre felt particularly well disposed towards them all, but was now instinctively on his guard for fear of binding himself in any way. To all questions put to him, whether important or quite trifling, such as where would he live, was he going to rebuild, when was he going to Petersburg, and would he mind taking a parcel for someone, he replied, "Yes, perhaps," or "I think so," and so on. He had heard that the Rostovs were at Kostroma, but the thought of Natasha seldom occurred to him. If it did, it was only as a pleasant memory of the distant past. He felt himself not only free from social obligations, but also from that feeling which it seemed to him he had aroused in himself. On the third day after his arrival, he heard from the Drubetskoys that Princess Mary was in Moscow. The death, sufferings, and last days of Prince Andrew had often occupied Pierre's thoughts, and now recurred to him with fresh vividness. Having heard at dinner that Princess Mary was in Moscow and living in her house, which had not been burnt, in Vozdzovchenka Street, he drove that same evening to see her. On his way to the house, Pierre kept thinking of Prince Andrew, of their friendship, of his various meetings with him, and especially of the last one at Borodino. Is it possible that he died in the bitter frame of mind he was in then? Is it possible that the meaning of life was not disclosed to him before he died? Thought Pierre. He recalled Karatayev and his death, and involuntarily began to compare those two men, so different and yet so similar, in that they both lived and both died, and in the love he felt for both of them. Pierre drove up to the house of the old prince in a most serious mood. The house had escaped. It showed signs of damage, but its general aspect was unchanged. The old footman, who met Pierre with a stern face as if wishing to make the visitor feel that the absence of the old prince had not disturbed the order of things in the house, informed him that the princess had gone to her own apartments and that she received received on Sundays. "Announce me, perhaps she will see me," said Pierre. "Yes, sir," said the man. "Please step into the portrait gallery." A few minutes later, the footman returned with Desalles, who brought word from the princess that she would be very glad to see Pierre if he would excuse her want of ceremony and come upstairs to her apartment. In a rather low room lit by one candle sat the princess, and with her another person, dressed in black. Pierre remembered that the princess always had lady companions, but who they were and what they were like he never knew or remembered. This must be one of her companions, he thought, glancing at the lady in the black dress. The princess rose quickly to meet him and held out her hand. "Yes," she said, looking at his altered face after he had kissed her hand. "So this is how we meet again. He often spoke of you even at the very last," she went on, turning her eyes from Pierre to her companion with a shyness that surprised him for an instant. "I was so glad to hear of your safety. It was the first piece of good news we had received for a long time." Again the princess glanced around at her companion, with even more uneasiness in her manner, and was about to add something, but Pierre interrupted her. "Just imagine. "I knew nothing about him," said he. "I thought he had been killed. All I know I heard at second hand from others. I only know that he fell in with the Rostovs. What a strange coincidence." Pierre spoke rapidly and with animation. He glanced once at the companion's face, saw her attentive and kindly gaze fixed on him, and, as often happens when one is talking, felt somehow that this companion in the black dress was a good, kind, excellent creature who would not hinder his conversing freely with Princess Mary. But when he mentioned the Rostovs, Princess Mary's face expressed still greater embarrassment. She again glanced rapidly from Pierre's face to that of the lady in the black dress and said, "Do you really not recognize her?" Pierre looked again at the companion's pale, delicate face and with its black eyes and peculiar mouth, and something near to him, long forgotten and more than sweet, looked at him from those attentive eyes. "But no, it can't be," he thought. "This stern, thin, pale face that looks so much older, it cannot be she. It merely reminds me of her." But at that moment Princess Mary said, "Natasha," and with difficulty, effort and stress, like the opening of a door grown rusty on its hinges, a smile appeared on the face with the attentive eyes, and from that opening door came a breath of fragrance which suffused Pierre with a happiness he had long forgotten and of which he had not even been thinking, especially at that moment. It suffused him, seized him, and enveloped him completely. When she smiled, doubt was no longer possible. It was Natasha, and he loved her. At that moment, Pierre involuntarily betrayed to her, to Princess Mary, and above all to himself, a secret of which he himself had been unaware. He flushed joyfully, yet with painful distress. He tried to hide his agitation, but the more he tried to hide it, the more clearly, clearer than any words could have done, did he betray to himself, to her, and to Princess Mary that he loved her. "No, it's only the unexpectedness of it," thought Pierre. But as soon as he tried to continue the conversation he had begun with Princess Mary, he again glanced at Natasha, and a still deeper flush suffused his face, and a still stronger agitation of mingled joy and fear seized his soul. He became confused in his speech and stopped in the middle of what he was saying. Pierre had failed to notice Natasha because he did not at all expect to see her there, but he had failed to recognize her because the change in her since he last saw her was immense. She had grown thin and pale, but that was not what made her unrecognizable. She was unrecognizable at that moment he entered, because on that face, whose eyes had always shone with a suppressed smile of the joy of life, now, when he first entered and glanced at her, there was not the least shadow of a smile. Only her eyes were kindly attentive and sadly interrogative. Pierre's confusion was not reflected by any confusion on Natasha's part, but only by the pleasure that just perceptibly lit up her whole face. All right, there we go, another chapter down. We're back with Pierre, and we're back with Maya and Natasha, reunited. How happy does it make you to see Pierre feeling his love for Natasha? That's a nice thing. Natasha's changed, though. So much that he did not recognize her. How long's it been since he saw her? That's what I'm trying to figure out. He saw her right before he was taken prisoner. So not that long ago. It's not, can't be years. But how long was he a prisoner for? That's what I'm not really clear on. And also, how long after his release or his rescue is this scene taking place? Those details are probably included in the book somewhere, but I've definitely skipped over them if they are. Anyway, he's seen her, and evident love has burst from his smile, from his face. Maya and Natasha have noticed it. His facial features have betrayed his love to them. And Natasha as well, her whole face was lit up, but by a imperceptible smile. Pierre's confusion was not reflected as confusion, but only as a pleasure that almost imperceptibly lit up her whole face. Just quietly, I'm pretty pleased about that. Was it yesterday that I was saying that I hope they get together? And now they're smiling at each other. Chattelvalster said, when Pierre meets with Maya again, Natasha is with her, but Pierre only recognizes her at first as a lady companion in a black dress. Was it obvious to you that it was Natasha, and if so, why does Tolstoy write it in this way, if not to create a plot twist? Yeah, you know what, my first thought was that, and I was thinking, oh, she must be facing the other way or something, he can't see her face, because if it was Natasha, he would recognize her immediately. But then it said about her face, and he still didn't recognize her. So I thought, oh, okay, it's not her. And then, yeah, the little Tolstoy twist, it was her. And then it did seem a little bit off that, I'm like, well, I understand her face has changed a lot, but it's amazing how much someone can change and you'll still recognize them instantly, you know? I've seen people that I went to kindergarten with and I haven't seen them for, you know, 30 years, and I see them and I'm just like, oh, immediately, dude, I know that person. I might be exaggerating a little bit, but, you know, people grow up from being a little toddler to a grown person and you still immediately recognize them. So a few months of depression and stress has made her gaunt, it's made her face go thin and pale, but I'm sure he would still know who it was. All right. Anyway, I'm hammering that point a little bit too much. Chattelvalster, I think you're right. I think it was just to be a little plot twist. Chattelvalster also asked, at the start of the chapter, Pierre thinks about how he is free from the love which he deliberately was affected by. Later upon seeing Natasha again, he is overwhelmed and confesses his love for her, while this feeling, which he felt freed from, traps him and decreases. Will this feeling, which he felt freed from, trap him and decrease his happiness, or will his mindset only change for the better? I think his love for Helena was a terrible thing. I think she was an awful person. There's a lot of discussion about Helena being poorly written because she's so vapid and hollow and empty and selfish. And I think I'm still undecided whether she is poorly written or if she's just a well-written, awful person. The latter makes for a better book, and, I mean, she's done awful things, so... I think the hollowness and the two-dimensionalness of Helena is actually reflective of her character. She is shallow. But, hey, maybe I'm a sucker for romance, but I think that him and Natasha could make each other happy. Content, at least. They're a good match. Maybe they're not a good match, but I still really want it to happen. Chattelvalster said, Natasha and Pierre both have changed a lot since the last time they met. Will this change their feelings for each other, or will they be as peas in a pod? Another good question. I don't know that they ever were as peas in a pod. They were friends, and then there was sort of, I'm not going to say lust, but it wasn't exactly like they were soulmates or anything. Pierre was just sort of head over heels in love with her. But it's not like they spent a lot of time together, is it? So, it's kind of yet to be seen how they will be as a couple, or, you know, at least if they were closer, because, I don't know, I don't think they were really that close. I think Pierre was close with her family, and they were close friends, but, yeah. Does that make sense? Not really. I don't know. I just really want them to hook up. I'm like a teenage girl reading Twilight, aren't I? Oh, dear. De Fleury said, I've had the experience of not recognizing an old friend without his smile. Different hair and different body, but it was the extreme tenseness and cold, dead eyes that threw me. I honestly was confused until I saw a little bit of familiar humor in his eyes, laughing at me for being so dumb. I also really feel for Pierre turning all the colors of the rainbow when he gets overwhelmed. Oh, that's sweet, yeah. He did completely give away his feelings, didn't he? He couldn't hide anything. And that's interesting that you've had that experience, because I was just saying it doesn't seem realistic, and there you go, a real life case of that happening. So, maybe I'm being too harsh on Tolstoy there with my commentary. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up this episode there. Thank you very much for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.